This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Error Code 8, more DVD nag screens to tell you not to be a pirate. Religious sites contain more malware than porn sites. And CISPA, what is it? And WTF does it do? Stay tuned. Guys, welcome back to another episode of Error Code 8, where we run down the tech news of the week for you into itty-bitty little bite-sized pieces. I'm your host, as always, Jesse Miller, and joining me, the Techno-Gaelic himself, Sam Briggs.
Welcome back again, everyone, and we have a lot of stories this week.
We do. Weren't we a little short on stories last week, if I remember correctly?
Yeah.
We were kind of digging for news, and then this week it explodes in our faces. Like a cheap firework. So we're going to dive right into this. A few of these are just mentions or nothing, you know, that really needs to be talked about in great length, but they are things that need to be hit on. This is one of those things, Flipboard. I use Flipboard on my iPad a lot. It is probably my number two most used iPad app next to Twitter. And I read Twitter on Flipboard sometimes. Basically what it is, it's a news reader that allows you to set up RSS feeds and Twitter and Facebook, and it'll take all these sites, scrape news and images off of them, and then put them into a magazine-style format where you can flip through the pages and read your news, see your pictures, all of it right there. It's really an amazing app. The one thing that has always bothered people about Flipboard since it came out is that it is iOS only. Up until now, the Samsung Galaxy S3 is a phone that's coming out that is exclusively the first Android phone and the only Android phone for a while to get Flipboard because of its gigantic screen. There was I don't know if I really want to give him a lot of publicity because he might get in trouble for something like this. But on XDA Developers, there was a developer who actually got his hands on a demo unit and just couldn't help himself. He ripped the APK from, and that's an Android package. I used to know exactly what it was. Basically, it's the install file for an Android program. So he rips the APK from the demo unit and puts it on xdadevelopers.com. You can go there now. We have a link in our show notes. Go there, you know, give him a plus one or a thanks or whatever you have to give him to thank him for doing this, and download the Flipboard APK. Install it on whatever device you want and enjoy. All right. And Sam, you didn't know what Flipboard was until just now, did you?
Nope. Because we don't have apps in WebOS land.
No, you
do. We use stone tablets.
Don't you now?
Yeah, but we move them around in card format.
Oh, well, you know.
So, it looks fancy.
You flip the stone tablets off your screen?
Yep.
They hit the person across the subway from you and send them through the window?
Oh, I always get my own subway train.
Because you're WebOS.
Yes.
Yeah. Either that or people just don't want to sit across from a guy in a kilt.
Also true. But also another benefit of wearing a kilt.
This is true. You know, in the online web, web series, The Guild, Will Wheaton's character wears a kilt. So you got that.
True.
Yeah.
I've mentioned kilts on Twitter, I think, every single week for the last 2 months, at least one tweet every single week. So I've been trying to promote them. The revolution will come.
I don't even like shorts. All right. Our next story is kind of a mind-boggling one, but funny nonetheless. AT&T's Glenn Lurie. He basically has said that he sees the end of Wi-Fi-only tablets, like my beloved iPad 3 that's sitting next to me. I know it's called the new iPad. I'm calling it the iPad 3. It doesn't matter what you say. La 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 la. I get corrected on that so many times. You know, that's not the iPad 3. That's the new iPad. No, it's the third iPad. It's iPad 3.
I agree.
Leave me the hell alone. Anyway. Yeah,
I'm going to say in 6 months, referring to your new iPad is just going to be annoying.
Exactly. And next year when the new one comes out, then what are you going to call it? Huh?
My old iPad.
Exactly.
It's like a guilt trip.
Yeah.
Oh, this is my
it's not the new iPad anymore. iPad. They'll change the name to the iPad 3 and then the new iPad will come out.
Oh, man. That's how they're doing it. They're guilt tripping all their customers and buying new ones.
More likely. It's just like the little shiny silver backs they used to have that would get scratched up and make it feel like a piece of crap.
Mistreated your iPad. Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. Your iPod.
Yeah, iPod. All right. So anyway, Glenn Laurie says Wi-Fi tablets won't be around for long because the cost of cellular modems are going down. I understand the fact that the hardware is going down in price. The problem is the data isn't. The data is going up in price. It makes no sense.
Very,
I mean,
quickly.
The fact that this guy thinks the Wi-Fi only tablets are going away is just shows how short sighted some of AT&T's people really are. You know, I mean,
but he does make a good point. I mean, look at any standard, like when you go to an AT&T store or such, they're a lot of times charging like $100 more and or throwing on a contract for the cellular enabled. Tablets when apparently they only actually cost $30 more to really make.
It's true. And that's, I mean, it's not, I mean, even if they offered a Wi-Fi only iPad for $500 and a 3G, 4G only iPad for $500, if they were the exact same price, the only difference was their connectivity. I still would not buy the 3G, 4G because wireless data is getting more expensive, so there's no point. I mean, while the hardware is getting cheaper, the data is getting more expensive, so you're going to be spending more money no matter what. And number two, Wi-Fi is expanding. There is more Wi-Fi now than I can ever remember there being. I mean, I pass so many restaurants that have Wi-Fi and, you know, stores that have Wi-Fi and just different places all along my route to and from work that are just chock full of Wi-Fi. Why, if I can get all this Wi-Fi for free, am I going to pay for cellular data that's either on par or just a little bit faster?
The advantage I'd see, I actually wish they would only go to the enabled or the possible, because you don't have to get the data plan with the device. That's completely optional. Of course, if you choose that option, you have to pay the full outright price. There's no contract along with it. Generally with the Android tablets is where you see that. The advantage to it is that you can then unlock that SIM card slot, take it to a prepaid carrier, and get really awesomely cheap internet deals. So if you do travel or you do want to use it on the road, you know, vacationing, stopping at places that may not have internet, you can do that. Obviously not with the iPad, but with the Android tablets you could.
And see,
but
the one thing that I have as a rebuttal to, you know, having that is the fact that this is coming from an AT&T person. AT&T is notorious for having the most expensive data at the most ridiculous plans. And then you've got the fact that I have a Sprint phone sitting right next to me that at any time when I have Sprint coverage, I can turn my phone into a Wi-Fi hotspot with unlimited data. I have Wi-Fi in my pocket every single moment of every single day. By the way, I must say that all this talk about Wi-Fi is driving my dog insane because her name is Wi-Fi, and every time I say it, she comes to me and wants to know what I want.
Poor dog.
Yeah, so she is like right at my leg. I love it. It's hilarious. But anyway, yeah, so, I mean, with the advent of tethered phones, and, you know, so many phones now have tethering plans with, you know, have the ability to tether, you know, just like you said with unlocking the SIM card slot in an Android tablet, the iPhone people or the iPad people are kind of out in the dark in that one. However, if you have an Android phone that can tether, you're set. Root it, install Wi-Fi tether, unlock your stock tethering hotspot, whatever. You have Wi-Fi everywhere. Glenn Laurie, you're short-sighted. You work for AT&T. That's no surprise.
This is true.
All right. Next one here, I've got a new little device that has come out. It's pretty – I caught this one early on and got in contact with the people who are putting it out. They sent me a little bit of a PR press release today, and I figured I'd pass it along. It's from a company called Freedom Pop. Now, what Freedom Pop is doing, their basic mission is that the internet is a right, not a privilege. Everyone should always have access to the internet at extremely low prices, and, you know, a reasonable amount of use should be included with every single device. That is exactly what I want. I mean, I think that is a great way to be. Freedom Pop is working on bringing out little devices that give you 4G access. Now, it's only 4G, you know, so this is not a thing you can use absolutely everywhere. It's only in certain areas. However, they're putting out 4G. The first device they have is a case for the iPhone 4 and the 4S, of course. It has a battery packed into it, a 4G radio, and then also becomes a 4G wireless hotspot. So your iPhone can connect to 4G all the time. I mean, that's pretty intense. Now, the case costs $100. But let me throw this in for you. As of their beta program, they're looking at 1 gigabyte of free data every month. Right? Mm-hmm. that's pretty good.
I'll say that's surprising.
Now, it will be going to 500 megabytes once the beta is over, as far as I know. So, you know, I mean, still, 500 megabytes is pretty good. You know, that's two TV shows. That's a whole lot of web browsing, a whole bunch of streaming music. I mean, I can't even imagine how much music that is. Mm-hmm. And because your iPhone is on Wi-Fi, you won't have that 50 megabyte limit for your downloads. You can FaceTime from pretty much anywhere as long as you have 4G. And you can connect, I believe, up to, I think it's about 8 other devices to this. And share your Wi-Fi or share your 4G Wi-Fi with them as well. That's pretty interesting. Now, let me sweeten the deal even more. All right, let's see if I can get a calculator up fast enough here. We need to figure out how much AT&T's data costs. All right, so how much do you know right offhand? How much a 3 megabyte or 3 gigabyte plan costs? It's $30, right?
Yeah.
So it's $10 a gig.
$10 a gigabyte.
Okay. Divided by 1024. It's about literally 0.97 cents a megabyte. Okay. That's less than a cent per megabyte, but just only. So these guys, Freedom Pop, after you run over your 1 gigabyte of free or your 500 megs of free, whichever, you know, happens, they charge you only for what you use. They don't have a 2 gigabyte or 3 or 4 gigabyte plan. They charge you 1 penny per megabyte. That is literally 24
That's
cents.
Good.
Yeah, 24 cents more than AT&T. You have no contract and you only pay for what you use. Over the amount they give you for free. Now, Freedom Pop is said to be coming out also with several other devices, such as a 4G USB modem and also a 4G wireless hotspot. Freedom Pop, please. I mean, please be successful at this because this is fantastic. This will make the carrier shake in their boots. This will force the prices of mobile data to go down, which is exactly what we need. So,
yes.
Definitely head over to their website. You can express your interest. You can also order the Freedom Pop iPhone sleeve, which is rightly named the Freedom Sleeve. It's not the 4G is not available in all areas, but most major cities have it covered. Even our own local St. Louis has it covered. I tried to get a spec sheet. They couldn't give me a spec sheet right now because there isn't one. This is a very small company that's putting these things out. Since they couldn't give me a spec sheet, I don't know whose 4G network it runs off of. But being that St. Louis is the closest one to us, I would say it's probably some sort of a GSM carrier. More than likely an AT&T or a T-Mobile.
Yeah, that's actually, and I would expect it to, well, obviously it would have to be AT&T in that situation.
Exactly. Otherwise, it'd be a little closer to us. Because Sprint has a WiMAX network pretty close to us. However, these guys are probably, if they're forward-thinking enough to have done this the way they're doing it, they're probably forward-thinking enough to have made it an LTE 4G modem, not a WiMAX, since WiMAX has already got its death clock ticking.
Right.
So, all right, next on our list, CTIA. Yeah, that happened. I have been so out of the dark on this one. A couple of the new little... CTIA is basically the cell phone stuff. You know, cellular... We batted this acronym around and found several different reasons, several things for it. It's just basically the cell phone companies. Yeah, so it's all wireless devices. Some really cool things coming out of there. Some interesting phones and pads and stuff like that. Nothing that really blew my skirt up, to be completely honest. Nothing was incredibly interesting, except for one device that Engadget actually brought to my attention. It's called the iCache Geode. And this is a pretty cool little thing. I would love to have one of these. It's basically a phone case that has a credit card reader and an e-ink screen on the back. Let's see here. It has it's a case for the iPhone. That has an app, an e-ink display on the rear, a fingerprint scanner, a credit card, a magnet, and a magnetic stripe reader. So you can literally put all of your credit cards and all of your little, my favorite customer cards that you get that, you know, give you a little extra points and all this crap that you can use for coupons. Put all of them on here. The e-ink display shows the barcodes so you can scan all those things. You know, you've got the credit card for all your credit cards and all. I mean, that is pretty interesting. I really enjoy that. I think this would be cool for something. I mean, it'd be neat if they put this out without being on an iPhone case, you know? I would buy this as a little bitty wallet thing. I think that would be freaking awesome. But, of course, it does need an app. So maybe if they made this... made this Bluetooth or made it with NFC or something like that to where it could be used with all phones, you know, make it Bluetooth, also give it an NFC radio, and that way all phones could use it easily. That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to keep my eyes on this, though. The iCache Geode is what it's called. Other than that, yeah, like I said, nothing incredibly interesting coming out of CTIA. And a lot of stuff we saw coming. Samsung Focus 2, whoopity-doo, MediaPad Tim from...
More devices that...
Go ahead.
More devices that were the same as last month's devices that were the same as 6 months' devices, just with the bigger engine.
Exactly.
More processing power.
Same car, bigger engine. So, yeah, nothing really big to cover there. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you watched a DVD-based movie?
I watch them every week.
Does it not?
With a friend of mine.
Does it not give you the red cheeks just a little bit whenever you can't skip through those anti-piracy warnings?
I wouldn't say it bothers me, but I mean, it would be nice if they weren't there. Mm. I'm sure in the course of a lifetime, I'm going to add up to a handful of minutes that would have been better used in other ways than just watching the federal warnings.
Exactly. Well, guess what? You're going to add up a couple more minutes because there are new anti-piracy doohickeys that are going to be at the front of all DVDs. Two new screens. it's useless. Completely and utterly useless. Basically, the differences are you also get one now that has not only the FBI anti-piracy warning seal that we've had for so long and have so grown to love so much, you also get Homeland Security Investigation Special Agent Badge, which is useless. It says the unauthorized reproduction or distribution of this copyrighted work is illegal. Criminal copyright infringement is investigated by federal law enforcement agencies and is punishable for up to 5 years in prison and a fine of $250,000. Nothing we didn't already know. The fact is, if you pirate these movies, you probably have cut these off of the front of them. So, mm-hmm. You know, the other one is the Intellectual Property Rights Coordination Center. Woohoo! They sound... anyway, it says piracy is not a victimless crime. Yeah, I'd really hate for someone not to be able to buy a third gold Hummer. For more information on how digital theft harms the economy, please visit www.iprcenter.gov. Hey, Anonymous, I got another website for you.
I wonder if they copyrighted that image. Because if not, I'm totally copywriting it because it looks awesome.
That eagle looks pretty badass.
Well, do you know how rarely the government actually copyrights its own images?
That's true.
I mean, and then once I have it copyrighted, then my God, the money I will make.
Yeah.
$5, $10.
Well, it says here that these screens themselves are not in the public domain, and only the Ooh. Major U.S. movie studios are authorized to use them.
Oh, of course, you know.
Yeah,
really?
They're the ones who really need the protection from the pirates, you know.
Yes.
Piracy is such a bull crap thing so far. Oh, man. I mean... I forget what episode it was that we talked. We had I put on a TED Talk YouTube video of piracy, music piracy. But you should definitely go back in our episodes and find that and listen to that video. And I have a link to it in that episode's show notes. It just makes a mockery of this whole thing. Yeah. Anyway, piracy aggravates me whenever people gripe about it. All right, so. 9 times out of 10, when someone when you're fixing a computer, and I know most of the people who are listening to this have probably fixed someone's computer in the past before, 9 times out of 10, it's malware. That's slowing it down. My computer's running slow. My email takes so long to open up. Blah, 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 blah. Basically, you figure they surf a lot of porn. Maybe that's not the case, because a recent study shows that religious websites contain more malware than porn sites. And the porn sites... it's interesting that basically the porn sites say that it's not keeping their sites free of malware is bad for return business. That's pretty good. I like that.
I mean, let's face it. Everybody who watches porn has a favorite porn website that they probably check first, and. I mean, I know it was discussed at my previous place of employment. You know, safety is generally actually a top concern. I mean, you know, I don't get viruses there.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
So it makes sense.
Semantics says that it's interesting to note that websites hosting adult or pornographic content are not in the top 5, but ranked 10th in threats, number of threats. And it's, I mean... I think that's freaking hilarious that, you know, religious sites are putting more viruses on your computer than porn. So, you know.
I would also say a large portion of that probably has to do with the investment into the site itself, because most sites using HTML and such, they need to be secured using secure code, everything else like that, which generally, when you graduate – high school, maybe with your associates, you probably know how to code a website, you know, securely, but not as efficiently as somebody. These porn sites are probably paying somebody a good sum of money or a business to set up a proper website. Whereas religious websites, chances are a lot of them are being set up by
they still
members,
have blinking text and scrolling marquees.
Exactly.
That's how you could tell an amateur website creator is they will always have a scrolling marquee somewhere. Always. anyway, so that I thought that was a pretty funny little blurb.
Yes.
All right. Hey, this is a really cool picture, by the way. I'm going to let you cover this story because this one's yours. Mozilla and Firefox are a little bit at odds. Why don't you explain to us why?
Okay. Well, this is another lawsuit story, one of many lawsuit story that have befallen the nation of America and the nations of Europe and the rest of the world. This one, the main characters are Google, Oracle, and the United States government. What happened was is Google has decided that in Android, it is perfectly okay to use some of Oracle's Java code without paying them for it. Google even conceded this in court that, yes, they were using it under the fair use license, which Oracle said they weren't. And how much of it were they using? Millions of lines of code. Millions. Oracle wasn't happy with that. You know, using fair use to use millions of lines of code? No. Well, it turns out that the judge overseeing the case actually agrees with Google. The only violating, there's 9 lines of code violating the fair use clause. 9 lines out of millions. So all this money, the millions of dollars that both companies have spent fighting back and forth will come out to more than likely no more than $150,000 to Oracle. And that's it. $150,000 for 9 lines of code. This is exactly what is wrong with copywriting computer code. There's no point at all. Just open source it. You're not going to make any money off of it. Even major corporations can't make money off of it. The $150,000, and they've spent millions. I don't have an estimate here, but I know the estimate was over $40 million has been spent on this case for a $150,000 settlement, effectively, is what it's going to come down to, more than likely. That is insane.
That's, yeah. Software copyright's useless.
Absolutely. The fact is that if it can be done in one language, it can be done a dozen different ways in that language. And that's not even counting all the other languages and sub-languages and cross-languages that share elements of code. I don't even understand why companies are still trying this. Hardware? Okay. I get a legitimate case with hardware because it's what consumers see. Consumers don't see the code. They don't know how their phone does this at all. There's no point in even trying to make money off of that, because if a company's not willing to pay your price for it, it doesn't actually cost that much to redo it in another language or do it differently in the same language. It's as simple as that.
Simple as that. That's true, though. I mean, it aggravates me.
Yes. But it is a cool picture.
It is a really cool picture.
Oh, did I talk about the wrong story?
Yeah, you did.
Wait, I did, didn't I? Oh, sorry.
I wasn't going to bring it up.
I was listening.
I was going to try and segue into the correct story.
Oh, my bad.
That's okay.
Haha, well, I've ruined it.
That's all right.
You can segue the other way.
Yeah, so I'll have to go
my
back.
My tabs are out of order.
Oh, man, that's what the problem is. All right, so...
No, under the original story.
Yeah, Mozilla and Microsoft.
Well, the story, the players in the story of this one, Microsoft, Mozilla, and we probably will see some government intervention. More or less what it is that Mozilla has found or was told that WOA, which is Windows on ARM, which is Windows 8, for the ARM architecture, is not going to allow other web browsers, only Internet Explorer. That's it. Why? Microsoft is pushing for a fast, secure framework, and because of that, they are restricting what APIs are available to developers. Mozilla, Google, Opera, the various other browser makers require or need for their browsers more APIs than what Microsoft is providing. So they can't make their browsers. This violates Microsoft's own agreement in 2006 to help provide ways and provide competition within the computers and consumer space, so that consumers have more choice instead of being restricted down to one. Okay, they're pretty much the anti-Apple stance is what it comes down to. They're violating their own statements that they made just 6 years ago. And it's a bit of an issue because ARM architecture is designed for mobile devices. These are the devices, your Windows phone, your Windows tablets, and to be completely honest, honestly, probably even your Xbox. I mean, your Xbox in the future will run Metro Windows 8, which means that you should be able to make it do other things than just play games. Microsoft's not going to let it. It's just not going to happen. And that's not right. So this is one of those situations where Mozilla is calling them out, as Mozilla is generally, has a tendency to do. They've never been afraid, being a free use organization, to call these companies out. I know they've called both Apple and Google out in the past, and now they're calling Microsoft. So it's really awesome what they're doing in regards to to help maintain the open environment of the internet that our governments and the corporations are working so hard to shut down.
Boo corporations.
Yes. Boo. They make awesome phones, and they make all of this possible, but they do it in the most backwards way.
It's all about money, my friend.
Oh, yes.
Just money. Money and making sure you're better than the other guy. I forget what – there's a movie where one of the lines in the movie is, the number one rule is never underestimate the other guy's greed. I can't remember what movie that is. That's going to kill me. That's going to make my brain bleed, more than likely.
Type it in Google quick.
I will do that while you tell me about the new Boot to Gecko news.
Yes. All right. Boot to Gecko. You all remember me mentioning it, I'm sure, a few podcast or episodes back. Well, Mozilla is making great headway on it. They were at CTIA, and they've managed to previous event, they only had it for show. Now they have it available for you to download for your devices in a alpha form. It is not remotely close to finished yet. But for those of you who are running for sure the Nexus and the Nexus line of devices and the Galaxy S2, you can go to GitHub, download it. It gives you the instructions, and this is a very advanced this is literally you're doing most of the work yourself. There is no installer or anything else like this. So if you're comfortable dealing with install packages and seeing error screens, and you're okay running the risk of something going wrong and possibly breaking your device, chances are that's the absolute worst-case scenario. Feel free to give it a shot and see what a new what the new operating system that is designed to defeat the evil corporation's control of the app market, as that's their goal with Boot to Gecko. See how you feel about it, how you like it. I implore anybody with an HP touchpad, whether you bought it in the fire sale or not, download it and give it a shot. See if you can get it running on there. I'm going to try. I would like help. I'm going to be pushing for it. To see who can get it up and going, functionally. Because I'm very interested in it. So if there's any of you out there who are willing to take this on and might be better at it than me, let me know. I will help in any way I can. Because my touchpad is functionally useless except for... I mean, it's an excellent web browser. It's the best portable web browser I've ever had. and it is useless in every other way. So I would like to use it for something more than that.
Well, the first step is admitting it.
Yeah. Well, it's actually, I found that I simply don't have a need really for a – I actually do have a need for a portable Skyping device so I can get out to a place with good internet. But other than that, I found that my needs for a portable computing device is not that great. But it would just be nice to have something a little bit more functional than what it is.
Gotcha.
WebOS is really pretty, though.
Anyway, without the prettiness of WebOS on trial here. Oh, by the way, I feel like a total moron now because one of my favorite movies of all time is where that line is from, and it's Scarface.
Oh.
How did I not know Scarface? I mean, I could see the dude saying it, but I couldn't place the movie. That's Frank Lopez. Rule number one, never underestimate the other guy's greed. Rule number two, of course, is never get high on your own supply. Anyway, all right. So, next, this one, I purposely put this at the end so that we could talk about it just a little bit. Remember SOPA and ACTA? How there was such a huge stink over them when they came into public light? Well, there's another one on the horizon, and this one's called CISPA. Yeah, CISPA. That sounds so much less dangerous, you know, because it doesn't have quite as many consonants.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's German sounding.
CISPA. Yes, the CISPA. The sign in CISPA. Anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like you're a Germanese Germanese.
I'm a Germanese.
Japanese guy.
Well, a German Japanese guy
build up to that.
A German Japanese guy would definitely be a Germanese. Wow.
I've been up for 37 hours now and I'm dying.
The sign in CISPA. Anyway, so what is CISPA? Well, that's the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act. And it's also a pain in the ass for anyone who has a lisp. I'm just saying. Try to say that with any kind of a lisp. CISPA. Makes the back of my front teeth hurt. Anyway, so basically, what does it do? Why is it bad? It basically allows... See, like SOPA and ACTA both hurt companies. Companies whose business it was to be online, it hurt them. It held them responsible for their users. That was bad, so all of them got behind trying to get rid of it. This one will not have quite as much opposition in that fact because it rewards companies for following along with it, for gathering information, for intercepting or modifying communications, and for providing the federal government with information. It actually rewards companies for this. This is not a good thing. AT&T, Facebook, IBM, Verizon, Microsoft, and about 25 or more extra companies are already behind this. Basically, any part of your data can be called proprietary, meaning that you have no rights to look at it and know what's being gathered. Your name, your address, your phone number, all of this information, anything you do online can be shared with the federal government from any website, and the government actually will reward the website for it one way or another. They don't actually state 100% how they do it, but it's a good thing for these websites to give up your information, for Facebook to tell the government where you've checked in at for the last 2 years, for Foursquare to tell you the government exactly where you've been the last 2 years, for Google to give the government information regarding where your latitude check-ins have been at, what emails you get. All of this information that can be intercepted would be allowed to just flit to the government at the slightest notice. And if the government sees anything they don't like, all of a sudden, boom, you're under 24/7 internet surveillance at all times. Not good. Not good at all. This is worse than ACTA and SOPA. I mean, those were really 100%. Bad. But CISPA is just as bad. Now, the CISPA has already been passed by the House of Representatives. Okay, they voted for it last Thursday and passed it. That means it goes to the Senate, and if the Senate passes it, it goes to the White House. The Senate has mentioned no stance on it, so we're not sure how that's going to turn out. However, President Obama has already said that he will veto this if it hits the White House. If it gets that far, he will veto it. Now, the problem with that is, even though the president vetoes a bill, that doesn't mean that it stops. It can either be sent back to the House of Representatives and rejiggered in order for them to pass it again and try to get it with presidential approval, or and I'm fuzzy on exactly what the amount of votes has to be, but Congress can technically override the president with enough votes. I think isn't it 3-1? And I believe that's what the voting has to be. It's 3-1.
More than likely.
I'm just showing how much I paid attention in government class.
I have no idea how our government works. I think I understand it, I then realize I don't.
I know a lot about it, but that's like one of those little pieces of information that like I bumped my head on a shelf and that's what I lost. And I remember the combination to every locker I've ever had in school. But because I got hit in the head one too many times with a kickball, this is the one thing I can't remember. But anyway, so basically, like I said, President Obama has said he is going to veto this. It will not pass his hands. However, that does not mean that it's not going to pass. If enough people in Congress support this, they can override the president. It is possible. And if they override him, he does not get a second shot. So basically, if it goes to him and he vetoes it and it goes back to them and they override, it is law. It is done. So, you know, definitely get the word out to all your geek friends. Tell them what CISPA is and how it hurts them. You can read our show notes. We have a link to a Boy Genius Report who has a really great infographic that was created that kind of runs you through it. It's a very good one. It's by paralegal.net. A guy named Greg Vokes created it. Check it out. Read it. It explains it very easily for you and allows you to see what CISPA is and why it's so bad. So, all right. You have anything to add about CISPA?
Yeah. One thing. For those of you wondering what exactly how this could come to affect you, it's the slippery slope effect. You could be a completely and totally normal, not doing anything in any way that would ever bother or attract anyone's attention. And one wrong search result, one wrong check-in. You check into a Chinese restaurant. Maybe those Chinese, you know, are tied to some communist association in China. So I'm using this as a terrible stereotype. I apologize for the stereotype. Just an example.
Maybe they're Germanese. You don't know.
Exactly. Maybe they're Germans that are supporting the Japanese government. That doesn't make any sense, but okay. Maybe they are. Maybe our government wants to stop them for some reason. Well, you just checked in there, and now they're checking to make sure you aren't associated in any other ways with them, but you don't know that. Now you're monitored. All your little information, all the personal stuff that you – yes, nothing on the internet is personal. You have to accept that. It's there for anybody else to find if they can find it, if they have the way to look. This is saying it's perfectly okay for the government to look without trying, and it is our constitutional right regardless. It is our information. They do not have the right to look without letting us know. The companies do not have the right to make that choice.
Yeah.
They cannot hand over our information.
The Constitution protects us from illegal search and seizure. As far as I'm concerned, the government looking into my data while I'm online, while I understand that it's not private, is illegal search. Granted, you know, there's all kinds of legal hoopla that works its way around in there, but that's just a personal feeling, is that illegal search and seizure, the illegal search part of it, doesn't just cover what the cops can search while they're in your presence. It covers what government can search while they're not. I mean, one of the big things with cloud storage was the fact that the government, if your information is on a server from a company, it is technically capable of, or is technically the government's, at the government's discretion to subpoena that information without letting you know. You know, I mean, granted, they still have to subpoena the information and try to get a hold of it legally, but they don't have to let you know that they're doing it because it's not at your house. Now, if right. your information is on a hard drive on a server that's at your home, then they have to get a search warrant in order to seize that server. Search warrants are much harder to get.
Mm-hmm. So, but if you have a hard drive hooked up to your computer and are accessing those files while they're monitoring you,
it's all theirs.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not right.
Exactly. So this is bad, definitely. CISPA, tell your friends, tell your friends' friends, tell your aunt and uncles, and your third removed half-cousins.
Mm-hmm. Call your representatives. Call the people you've got in the Senate. Let them know.
Here's a great thing. Get a piece of paper and write a letter to your representative and to your just all of your congresspeople. And because writing a letter, it has to 100% be delivered to the person whose name is on the letter. Because if it is not delivered to that person, it is a federal offense, and that's tampering with the mail. that is the loophole that our government allows us to make sure that your letter, it doesn't have to be read by them, but they're going to have a very large amount of trash bags in their office filled with just paper, because so many people have written them letters that absolutely had to be delivered to them. So, you know, it's harder to ignore a paper letter, although I know as geeks we tend to shy away from paper. Still.
The wonderful thing is that you can get a lifetime stamp nowadays. And
yeah, forever
it's good
stamp.
For life.
Exactly.
A forever stamp. And you can print off 100,000 copies of your letter and buy 100,000 copies or 100,000 envelopes and mail with the forever stamp 100,000 copies to your representative.
It'd be very expensive.
And they have to all be delivered.
Yes, they do.
It would be very expensive.
It'd be very expensive. But, however, if each person out of 100,000 people sent them one, same effect and much cheaper for everyone.
Well, yes. But I want one person out there to go overboard, or maybe just share the same letter. It can be a universal letter.
Oh yeah, just print one off. Share it on. Exactly. Put a letter up on one of the numerous online storage services. Share a link on Twitter with the with an at reply to our, you know, to either me, Sam, or the blog, and we'll share it on our Twitter. And then everyone can just go print out your letter and send it to their congresspeople. All right. That's all we have for this week. So, Sam, why don't you tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you?
You can find me on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter, I'm at the Manitou Man. I'm up to 43 followers, which is 3 more than the last time I mentioned having followers, I believe. Yes. You can, on Facebook, I am Sam Briggs, guy in a kilt sitting on top of the Jeep. And you can find me Gmail, manitouman@gmail.com, sambriggs@8daysofgeek.com. And again, if you find me anywhere else, you have done a good job. I'm trying to think. I don't think I have created any other profiles. Wait, I'm on G+. Manitou Man.
Wow.
I haven't used that in forever.
All right. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at Pen of Doom. My email is jesse@8daysofgeek.com. You can find me. Ow! Sorry. Wi-Fi scratched me. Stop it! Anyway.
When Wi-Fi attacks.
Yes, I have a bad Wi-Fi connection right now. Anyway, anything else you want to learn about me, you can go to about.me/Jesse Miller and get it there. If you'd like to leave us. Oh, hey, by the way, I have 93 followers on Twitter.
Nice.
That, not really, because it's been at like 93 forever and a day.
Oh, well, it did go down.
It did go down to 90 for a while. I guess I either said something incredibly offensive or didn't say anything offensive enough. I don't know. Maybe I should use the NSFW tag a little more. People might post some mirror photos of myself. Okay, that'd probably lose all my followers. But anyway. So
I'm pretty sure I tweeted about being naked the other day. So I didn't lose any followers from that.
Nice. Well, you're in a kilt. You're always half naked.
Yeah,
you're always naked. You're always naked to the breeze. If you'd like to,
I'm very happy for that.
If you'd like to call us and tell us what you think about Sam's junk in the breeze because of his kilt, or if you'd just like to text us and tell us what you think about the show, or if you have any comments or, you know, any news snippets, we'd love to hear from you. Number is 754-273-6397. And for those of you who were swooning over Sam's kilt and breeze-ridden junk, that number is 754-273-6397. All right, guys, join us next week when we chew up the tech news and spit it out in nice little small pieces for you, like a mother bird for her chicks. And Sam, say goodnight to everybody.
Good night to everybody. Of justice!
Thanks, guys.
Edison, get in there.